Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, you haven't been traded or anything.
We haven't. I haven't been traded. Boy, there's a lot of news. A lot of news yesterday. Both with the trade, the hot stove league got fired up yesterday. Sean, we're cooking with gas.
We're cooking with gas. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cam Akers, look, hey, turned nothing into something with that. You just sign him right before camp.
Yeah, man.
On a flyer. Guy's got a couple Achilles tendons. Like, yeah, let's see what he's got. Holy crap! First day he shows up, and he looked like. This guy never hit. This is not the guy that had two Achilles tendon tears. And then he gets some opportunity to play, and all of a sudden he's got trade value. And like, off you go.
Off you go. Yeah. Cam Akers. We barely knew ye. Got to do a post-game show interview with him during the preseason. He was a delightful guy. He was. This is where I felt for Cam Akers yesterday. For those who missed it, the Texans traded running back Cam Akers to the Minnesota Vikings for kind of a pick swap in a couple of years. It wasn't much.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden, you grabbed a second rounder out of this.
Right.
You kind of gained like half a sixth rounder.
Wasn't flip this house or anything like that. Yeah.
But we know that Nick loves his pocket change.
He does.
He keeps all this around. People always get nervous about, like, he's traded away all these picks. Like, yeah, I know. And then he gets all these back. These are transactions you don't even notice because does so many sixth and seventh round stuff.
These are coupons is what they are. Yeah. So they trade Cam Akers to Minnesota. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, I'm gonna kind of miss him. He was cool. He's building a house here in Houston. That was one of the big reasons he signed with the Texans. Is he's building
a
house here?
He already has the house here.
Yeah, he's already got the house here. Now that's fine.
Did he say where it is?
I did not ask.
Because I know he won't be home, so if I want to case the joint, I'll be there some Sunday afternoon when the Vikings are playing.
2024. It's easy enough to find out, I guess, if you want to.
That's true.
But
put your house in an LLC, young athletes.
There you go.
Or Dan Campbell.
Do you, right?
Sure, yeah. And don't have it be like sexy Aggie 97.
Right.
Or whenever he graduated.
Yeah. Dan Campbell's got stalkers,
sexy
man.
Sexy Aggie LLC.
Yep. I guess this Cam Akers trade is a statement that they're cool with what they've got in the running back room. And that Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon, health-wise, are going to be A-OK?
I think, partly this, though, too, and I'll credit you with pointing this out early in the season, was when they had so many running backs and wide receivers in those meeting rooms that you still had. You had Danico Autry on the suspension list. You had Kurt Heinisch coming back at some point. So Kurt Heinisch was activated. Like the running back room wasn't going to stay that swollen for that long, especially once Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce came back. So I know I saw immediately a lot of people said, like, well, what about the running back depth? They still have more running backs on the roster than most teams have on the roster.
Yeah, J.J. Taylor's still on the practice squad. And by the way, there's still 3 weeks, I think, till the trade deadline. You can pick up a running back if you want one. The Vikings just got Cam Akers for a 2026 pick swap. That's the running back market.
The Vikings Texans trade pipeline, the Silk Road up through the Great Plains, is one that I didn't anticipate.
Yeah,
that seems to be their most favored nation right now.
Indeed.
Hey, real quick, since you mentioned coupons early,
I'm
gonna give you a 30-second story.
Yeah,
one of the best lessons. You talk about veteran leadership. Mm-hmm. When I was a young player, Hardy Nickerson. Do you remember Hardy Nickerson?
I do.
Yeah. Texans signed him, or the Jaguars signed him late in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And one day in the training room, he was clipping coupons. And I'm like, hey, Hardy, what's up, man? Bad investments? What happened? And he's like, listen, man, start living this way now because you don't want to. Like, this is don't ever forget where you came from and how easily, quickly things can be taken away and be frugal. and pay attention to the little things. And it was a really good lesson for me. He's like, because I already was a made man to an extreme degree.
Oh, yeah.
He had that Dennis Hopper Nike commercial money. And,
oh, he was in a Dennis Hopper Nike commercial?
He was in the Bad Things, man.
Oh,
one of those, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Hardy Nickerson, yeah. Man.
You know what Hardy Nickerson would do if he knew I'd had my head, his shoes.
I totally forgot about that. That's
so
funny.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was interesting. It was kind of like it was he was one of the made men of the NFL, and he's sitting there clipping coupons on the training room table.
Do you think he was doing that purposefully, thinking some young guys might walk by, or do you think he was just like, no, legit, this might be the only chance I have to clip these coupons?
Oh no, that's legit exactly what he was doing. Yeah, yeah, no, there was no
showmanship with it or anything like that.
Yeah. Hardy was an awesome. He was like one of the many people I met in the NFL who were just so impressive and from where they came from and how they grew up and the circumstances they were in to like just like a complete and total mature and finished human being, you know, like he was an impressive person.
You were around some interesting people on those Jacksonville teams. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, like Clyde Simmons late in his career, right? Hardy Nickerson. Was Carnell Lake on those teams late?
Carnell Lake was there. That was when we went on it. This is why I'm always, by the way, since I know we're going to come up, the fact that the Texans didn't trade for Justin Simmons, all these various other things. The feeling of like, okay, look, hey, this is a Super Bowl team. You got to sign everybody and every name that I know. That was that late stage. We'd been to two AFC championship games in 3 years. And Coughlin was getting desperate, and Coughlin was playing the Bill O'Brien role. He was this head coach / GM, really.
Boy. Yeah.
And they went hog wild spending, and it killed them. It crushed them. Because they went for older veterans, Bryce Pop. And, we did have some interesting guys.
You Forrest you Gump, you're like
though?
Forrest Gump with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You just found yourself around interesting people.
So that's my cautionary tale about overly spending. Yeah. I'm kind of grateful for it because I ended up in Houston, which was a much better fit for me in so many ways, like football and otherwise.
Yeah.
And plus, I could get away from all my old ex-girlfriends in Jacksonville. You know, my wife and I are there now, and I'm like, hey, listen, this is a small town.
Yeah.
Quit bumping into these hoes with my wife out to dinner. So, I'm just joking. There weren't that many hoes. So,
just a few.
So, you always get a little bit nervous about just like, all right, let's just start spending money on this. But with Bryce Pop, we're in minicamp. And we ran, I don't remember what play we ran, but I know that Bryce Pop was supposed to carry the tight end like in man coverage. And he came back to the huddle and he was like, I don't know if these guys expect me to do that a lot, but I can't do that. Bryce Pop was a pass rusher. He was like,
he should have checked this.
Yeah, he wasn't like Connor Barwin, you know. Connor could be a jack of all trades like that. But they signed him, and that's what they expected him to do.
Yeah.
They just, when you see teams sign guys that don't seem like scheme fits, you always figure, maybe they have a plan. No, they had no plan.
No.
They were like, nope, we're going to use him in a completely different way than the thing that earned him all that money.
That's wild, man. Yeah, they went back of the football card.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's funny. We're going to talk to Nick Caserio today on the show at 7:30. He'll join us for his. We talk to Nick about once a month, I would say. So we'll talk to him at 7:30 on the show. Was there anything about what the Texans did this offseason? Because they did a lot of that. You know, they brought in a lot of veterans. Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. They're all either over 30 or close to 30 now. Was there anything about what the Texans were doing that you felt resembled what they were doing in Jacksonville, or were the Texans doing it a little bit more a little bit more responsibly, maybe the word might be?
Are you asking me that, or is that not what you're asking Nick?
No, hey, Nick, do you feel you were being more responsible than Tom Coughlin?
It's a good question. Like, as far as, all right, how do you strike that balance between being really aggressive but also understanding? I will tell you, Belichick's philosophy and theory was always the long-term management of the team is you got to you got to manage the team such that, yes, you're being aggressive, and now the Patriots are not aggressive in free agency, but the reason you keep a long-term perspective is that in the short term, or like in the next three to five years, your best chance at winning a Super Bowl is to go to the conference finals every year. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you want to have as many shots at it as possible.
Because you'll break through eventually.
Yeah, when you're all in one given year, it's kind of like you're trying to go for that moonshot, and if you miss it, you're spinning off into orbit. So
yeah.
That's where, I know it's frustrating as a fan, where you're like, why aren't you signing this guy? Why aren't you signing that guy? And it is still... It's still a short-term strategy to think a little bit more long-term.
Well, and even the guys they signed or traded for, you know, are, if for some reason it goes sideways, and it's gone sideways with none of them so far.
Yeah.
Like, Nick has hit home runs in free agency and trades this past offseason. You know, with other than Mixon being banged up, I mean, Danielle Hunter, I think he's been good. I think the sacks are going to come with him. Stephon Diggs has been, I think, almost exactly what we expected Stephon Diggs to be. Mixon's been really good. You're not committed to any of them for like a cap crippling amount of time. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's the biggest thing they did compared to when teams are really irresponsible about it, is they kept everything very short term.
Yeah.
Like Nick very much manages it in a way of like, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of guaranteed money, but we're going to take our medicine. We'll only push a little bit of it off into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now, I think especially, I know Nick doesn't like to talk about it in terms of the rookie quarterback contract window.
Yeah.
But it's there. Like, you understand and appreciate, okay, we've got a really good quarterback without having to pay for him right now, really. And we've got this money to spend. We can't spend it into that contract year for CJ Stroud.
Has Brandy heard the good news yet about her her broadcast idol doing our game on Sunday?
She'll probably like hearing this as opposed to my Jacksonville hose. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll let you give the news to her right now. Yeah.
Tony Romo is going to be doing this game this Sunday.
How about that?
Yeah. This is the...
Texans get the A-team, man.
Wait, is this the late afternoon game?
No, then? It's a noon game, but we're still getting the A-team here, yeah. Oh,
so we're probably going to get... Now, Brandy, this is where Brandy and I differ, is Brandy wants drunk Romo,
okay,
where I'm hoping for sober Romo.
Yeah.
And at noon, I'm guessing we'll probably get sober Romo.
Noon in
Not
Green
that he's
Bay,
ever
though.
Drunk on air, but when I say drunk Romo, I mean he sounds like he's drunk.
I don't know, man. If Romo gets a whiff of that parking lot before the game, I've been to the parking lot outside Lambeau, man. They ain't scared at 8 in the morning, you know?
I'm more worried about how many sausages he might eat.
Romo's asleep.
I don't want fat and happy Romo.
He's asleep at 2 o'clock.
He's like, call the game from the parking lot.
Oh my god! Yeah, so we get Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson on the game on Saturday.
It does.
Sunday.
Brandy has bent me over to it, like at least enjoying Romo's enthusiasm. I can try to ignore the many weird things he says during a game that don't make any sense, as long as okay, this is fun. It's kind of like when you watch a game with Ross Tucker, you're like, all right,
yeah,
this guy loves football.
His joy
is
real. It is a genuine, organic joy that he has of the game. I just wish he would study the actual teams that he's calling a little bit more. That's all.
Yeah, like when you have Charles Davis. I love having Charles Davis because Charles Davis will teach me something about the team that I watch every week.
That's right.
Because he actually really does his homework and everything, and he sees something that I haven't seen. I'm like, oh, thank you, Charles Davis.
Yep. All right, Jerry Jones made waves yesterday on our sister station up in Dallas. He got really, really, really upset when our counterparts up there, Sean and RJ, were asking questions about Jerry's very slow offseason they had this past summer.
He got
very agitated. I think his message to them is being misunderstood.
Oh, are we going to stick up for Jerry Jones?
A little bit, yes. I think he's being misunderstood, and I'll explain why.
Poor Jerry.
Coming up next.
Aww.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.